not going well for Hezekiah, for really the nation of Israel. To make matters worse, the enemy nation of Assyria was planning to an attack and an annihilation of Israel. Hezekiah prays. Right? That's what we do. When we feel like we're getting attacked, hopefully we turn to God and pray. We turn to Him. And Hezekiah did that. He prayed to God for deliverance. And God sends Isaiah the prophet with a message. A message, put it up here from the English Standard Version. Hezekiah 2 Kings 19, verse 30. So you got to bear with me. I got all kinds of medicines and stuff. I'm a little funky. 2 Kings 19:30 says, "The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward." It was God's promise. And that's what we talked, kind of started digging in last week, talking about really letting our roots sink down deep into God, into His love, into His grace, into His mercies. And the more that we dig our roots deep, the more grateful that we become. When we the more we understand his love. And that's really it. That right there, what we're reading right there, what's on the screen, that's really the key to success, to our success. Whether it be our success in overcoming sin. You know, we all have those Achilles heels, right? The character sins that just, you know, from time to time throughout our life just keep rearing its ugly head. And we've all asked the question, what's it going to take to overcome this, to really be set free? Right, in marriage, in our marriages, in the dynamics that we have, whether it be in our parenting or careers or getting out of debt financially, dreams, goals, helping somebody become a Christian, moving forward as a church and really continuing to see God's blessing and His growth. A key to success is that we take our roots down into the depths of God's love for us so that we can bear fruit upward. Right, that's what we talked about, the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That those be on full display in our lives. Right, that we send our roots down so that we can bear fruit upwards. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, I had you guys turn over. It says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. I like the New Living Translation version. It says, sink your roots in Him and build on Him. Be strengthened by the faith that you were taught and overflow with thanksgiving. Now, I want you to, if you're not offended by the idea of it, I want you to either jot down in your notes or in your Bible, either circle or underline, overflow with thanksgiving. You know, the greater our depth, the greater the depth of which we understand God's love for us, the more our faith is built, the more we're strengthened in that. And the natural result of that is lives overflowing with thanksgiving. Amen? Does that make sense to you guys? Think about that. Just let that kind of rattle around and marinate for a minute. The more that we allow ourselves, the greater we understand that to the depths of which we understand God's love for us, really understanding what He's done for us, the sacrifices that He has made for us, to the fullest extent that He has created all that we see and have for us, to stand in awe of Him, to be wowed and amazed that we can look at those leaves on the trees, like Jeff was saying, and just stand in awe, and that He did all of this for us. When we look at Jesus hanging on the cross, and we'll take communion in a minute, the deeper our roots go into really understanding God's love for us and how much He's done for us, the more and more our lives will overflow with thanksgiving. And that's what we kind of touched on that last week. We'll touch on it again. Not just going through the motions of things, but a lifestyle characterized by gratitude. Be turning over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, we ended last week's lesson with a question and an answer. The question was, how do you know? How can you tell if someone has deep spiritual roots? And the answer was continuous gratitude. You know, what is continuous gratitude? And how do we know what that looks like? And we got that from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, where it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's radical gratitude. Continuous gratitude is radical gratitude, right? We're not talking about thank you for, my slippers that keep my feet warm in the morning when it's cold. And there's nothing wrong with being thankful for those things. Not necessarily, you know, the thank you for aren't the meal, though there's nothing wrong with giving thanks for the meals that we have because lots of people don't have things to eat, right? But it's another level, a greater depth in our gratitude. Radical gratitude is about giving thanks to God in despite the most desperate seasons of our lives, right? Where the desperate times when things really are falling apart, and you know, not that we didn't get to eat a T-bone, we had to eat, you know, Franks and beans tonight, and we didn't get to eat the steak. That's not the kind of gratitude I'm talking about. That's not the kind of hard season. You know the hard seasons I'm talking about when we experience real loss, right? When we can't see or feel or really know where God is or how He's moving and working, you know, in our lives. We feel the temptations to give up, to throw in the towel. Those types of seasons. That's where God says, but give thanks in all. In all circumstances, it's a lifestyle, not just giving lip service. Again, not when we talked about this last week, not giving thanks for all circumstances. Because God doesn't approve of all things that happen. Not everything that happens in the world is His will. It doesn't happen outside His ability to control, but rape and murder and child trafficking and those things, when those things happen, those aren't God's will. Right, it's man's will. It's something that man chooses to do. Sin entered the world, and that's why we talked about, you know, Jesus in teaching His disciples to pray, Lord, let Your will on earth be done as it is in heaven. Because God's will is always done in heaven, and we pray that it will be here. So it's not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. The Greek word for in, that in all circumstances, in comes, it's an adverb word of post, P-O-S. It means any, all, everything, anyone, all the time, anywhere, everywhere, the whole thing. Meaning no exceptions, no excuses, no exemptions. God expects you and I to be grateful, to express thanksgiving despite whatever it is that we're going through in all circumstances, that we're able to find the things of life to be grateful for. And when all else fails, we can turn to Him. And if we are disciples, if we've been baptized, if we have the forgiveness of sins, then despite whatever else may be crumbling around, that there is a steadiness, there is a rock, there is something that is stable, that cannot be moved, that we can turn and look to. And from that, even in the worst of circumstances, we can say, thank You. We can express our gratitude. Not saying that it's easy. It's not. It's not easy all the time. Sometimes it may feel like it's not easy most of the time. But it's learning how to. And how do we learn to do that? Again, that's where we've got to allow our roots to grow deep. You know, where it not the shallow roots like I was telling you about my backyard last week, right? Where it just, you know, a little bit of friction just kind of rips up patches. If in our relationships with God, if our roots are not growing deep into Him, then a little bit of friction can just rip us right up. But when our roots grow deep, we can be radically grateful. You know, you know, you think about the radical gratitude. You know, I buy Kristen a sweater for Christmas, and then I accidentally put that sweater, it's a wool sweater, I put it in the dryer as opposed to hanging it, and that sweater now shrinks. We be thankful. I've done that many times. You know, but we can be thankful, right? Still being grateful and thankful despite. But that's, you know, that would be a struggle, and that would be hard to be grateful in the midst of that. But what about, like, if you buy a car? Anybody ever buy a car, or a new car or a new used car? And it's nice and it's pristine. You're feeling really good about it. And then you go to Kroger or Walmart and you come out and there's a ding in the door, right? And it's like Strugglesville, right? You're not grateful for that. You know, or but then even worse, if, you know, you get rear-ended by a 16-year-old who doesn't know how to drive, and it's like even worse, right? You know, even in all circumstances, right? How do we find in those moments, whether it's something maybe not as significant as the shrinking of a sweater or as really significant as the loss of property, even in those moments, learning. That's what he says. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Now, have you ever been left pondering that question, what is God's will for whatever? Fill in the blank. You know, what's God's will in my marriage? Or what's God's will for me at school? What classes am I supposed to take? What degree? You know, where should I buy a house? What should I do here? What should I do there? What's God's will for me? You know, here's the deal. God's not, he's not a sadistic God, right? He's not an evil puppet master, you know, belly laughing at our heartache and, you know, misery down here. He's not dangling the ever elusive will of God carrot right out in front of us, yet we're never able to get to it, right? We're always trying, we're always running after, but we're never able to get there. That's not how God works. That's not what he's about. He absolutely wants, God absolutely desires to reveal those things to us. What is your will for me in whatever area? But I also believe that he wants for us to get good at addition and subtraction before he moves us on to multiplication and division, right? You know, I think sometimes God might be in heaven saying, slow your roll, little fella. Right? When we're starting to get ahead of ourselves, you know, becoming impatient, complaining about what we don't, God's like, slow down. First, let's work on the will that I've already laid out for you. Right? Giving thanks in all circumstances. Let's grow in that area of my will for you first. Then we can move on to some of these other things that you're really interested in. Right? But first, let's focus on being thankful, giving thanks in all circumstances. Okay, two things. We're gonna discuss the rest of our time. Two reasons why the question, why is it God's will then for us to give thanks in all circumstances? Two today, and we'll finish up with three more next week. Number one, giving thanks in all circumstances. Why is this God's will for us? Because it honors Him. When we give thanks in all circumstances, it honors God. You know, Kristen is, she's the most amazing, incredible person that I know. I've seen, you know, we've been married for over 15 years now, and I've seen her over the past 15 years of our marriage constantly laying her life down for me, for our kids, for her family and friends, different ministries that we've been a part of over the years, constantly sacrificing of herself, constantly laying her life down. And she's still doing it. It's just who she is. She's doing it right now. You know, she's working hard even as a full-time, you know, hospice nurse. And then somehow, you know, I'm working on boundaries, right? I'm working, but I'm constantly roping her into more ministry than she than what she needs to be dealing with, right? And yet we have conversations, and she helps me to know the boundaries. But that's how she is. She's just always giving, always sacrificing. She's always putting. And if you're a mom, you probably have felt and experienced that in your life, right? Because that's a lot of time. That's just what moms really do, spending their life sacrificing and giving and emptying. Not saying that we as dads don't. We do. We do it in different ways. But thank you, moms. It's not Mom's Day, but thank you, moms. You know, but so when I say to her, and not flippantly, not in lip service, but when I really take a moment in time to look at her, and say, honey, thank you so much for how hard you work, for how much you give and sacrifice and take care of the kids or me. When I do that, it honors her. Right? It honors her. Whenever we express gratitude towards another person, we honor that person. And it's no different when it comes to our relationships with God. Look in Psalm 50. You guys with me? Come on. There we go. A little feedback. I'm not scared of it. Psalm 50 and verse 23. It says, he who sacrifices thank offerings honors me. In the New Living Translation, it's up on the screen, it says, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. Right? Our thankfulness, when we express to God our gratitude in all circumstances for what he's doing and how he's moving, it honors God. But here's the deal. We've got to go deeper in our expression of gratitude. If all I ever did was thank Kristen for the things that she does for me or the family, then eventually I'd start wading into shallow water. Right? Eventually just thank you for what you do to help us with our finances, or thank you for doing the dishes. If all I ever did was just express thankfulness for what she does, then eventually that gets shallow. She might even begin to think, do you really love me just for what I do? Is your love for me, is your appreciation, is your expression of gratitude only tied to what I do? I would need to not only thank her for what she does, but I would also need to thank her for who she is. Amen? Not just for what she does, but for who she is. In the same way, we've got to learn to not just thank God for all the many things that he does for us. And we need to get better at expressing our gratitude, our thankfulness for all the things that God does. But we also need to get better at expressing our gratitude for who he is. God is not your earthly father or your mother or a grandparent. He's not a coworker. He's not a neighbor or a friend, all of whom fail, all of whom have let us down and will let us down at times in our life. God is faithful. He is pure. He is righteous. He is all good all the time. And all the time, God is good. We need to grow in our appreciation, our gratitude, our ability to express, even when we don't feel like or seeing what he's doing. And now there's already, again, he's already done. There isn't anything else that he really can do. He went to the fullest extent in giving us Jesus. So that's what he's already done. He continues, though. And even in the moments when we were having a hard time figuring out and finding, how are you moving in my life right now? What are you doing right now? We can always thank and express gratitude for who he is, because he is the rock. He is always faithful. We can always, he is unshakable and he is unmovable. So thank God. We need to be able to say, thank you, God, that you're smarter than I am. Thank you, God, that your ways are so much better than my ways. How many ideas have you goofed up over time? Right, because and mine have been plenty, you know. Because we run out ahead. We have this awesome idea or thought, and we just start getting after it, and it just kind of flips, and then it flops, because we're not going in God's way with it. Right? We have plans. God determines our steps. You know. Thank you, God, that you know what's going to make me happy way better than I know what's going to make me happy. Right. We have plans, and God wants us to come and bring those ideas and bring those thoughts to him, but then ultimately we surrender and are submissive because remember, guys, we're the clay. We're not the potter. We didn't create ourselves. He created us. He knows you better and more intimately than anybody ever will. He knows what's going to make you happy. He knows what's going to satisfy you, that we can say, thank you, God, that you know better than I do. Thank you that you're gracious. Thank you for being for me what I do not deserve. And thank you that you're merciful for not being for me or to me what I do deserve. Right? Thank you, God, that your kindness leads me to repentance. Thank you, God, that you don't hold my sins against you. These are our expressions of gratitude, not necessarily for what he does for us, but for who he is. That's radical gratitude, and it honors God. The question then becomes, how do we develop this habit of continuous gratitude? You know, I like what Rick Warren's philosophy and strategy is. He says, don't let your feet touch the floor without your saying thank you to God. And in one of his sermon series, he elaborated a little bit further on this, saying doctors have shown in many, many reports that gratitude is the healthiest human emotion. It's good for your physical health. Doctors, science has actually tied gratitude and thanksgiving to your physical health. It's a healthy human emotion. If you're not grateful, if you're not expressing gratitude, you're not going to be as healthy or as happy as you could be, right? The more grateful you are in life, it actually affects your health. He says, gratitude is good for your health and good for your heart. If you say, God, I'm not going to put my feet on the ground in the morning. I'm going to sit on the edge of my bed, and before I do anything else, I'm going to stop and say thank you. If you start with gratitude, you'll be healthier, you'll be happier, you'll be closer to God, your roots will be going deeper. You know, that's how we can begin to practice this radical gratitude, this continuous gratitude, developing that habit. You know, before we roll out of bed in the morning or in the evening, for some who work the nights, you know, before our feet touch the floor when we begin our day, that we just take a moment and give thanks to God. Why is it God's will for us to give thanks in all situations? Number one, it honors God. Number two, it creates fellowship. There we go. It creates fellowship. What do I mean by it creates fellowship? How does giving thanks create fellowship? It builds relationships. It builds depth in relationships. When we express our gratitude to someone else, it helps to create and build a stronger bond and deeper relationships between you and the other person. Your roots in that relationship start going deep, right? When we express gratitude to God in our relationship with God, our roots are going deeper into our relationships with God. Then, regardless of what happens around, right, we can be giving thanks in all circumstances. When we express our gratitude to one another, right, our roots are being built, are being strengthened and going deeper in our relationships with one another, so that then when somebody accidentally may offend us, right, in that relationship, whether it's spouses or friends, neighbors, coworkers, you know, roommates, whatever, right, when those roots are going deeper, right, we can still give thanks because we're not living easily offended lives. It builds relationships. The roots are growing deeper. You know, I appreciate Toonie so much. Right, Toonie was awesome. As soon as she got back from the MAC retreat, right, that next Sunday, I walked in and she immediately stops me and just is expressing and pouring out her thankfulness and her gratitude for being able to go, and it's all of us. It is the church helped, you know, support her last minute so that she could be able to grow. But her expression and gratitude, and you could hear the joy, and you could sense, and you could feel that, and that builds closeness, right? And then, you know, I shared her, you know, the text that she sent me on Wednesday, but just then expressing again just another layer and depth of her thankfulness of going, and then all the things that she learned. When you do that with one another, man, it's really encouraging. And you feel closer to somebody, right, when we're expressive and thankful towards them. You know, who do you think about? Who do you want to start building a closer and deeper relationship with? You know, think about it. Maybe you know them right now. If you do, write it down. You know, think about it tonight. You know, before you go to bed, write it down. You know, come up with a list. Maybe it's one, maybe it's multiple people, but who you really want to start building a deeper relationship with. Maybe it's somebody in the church or specifically somebody in your family group. Maybe it is a neighbor. You know, somebody that you see, maybe you've had conflict, or maybe you've kind of have a good relationship, but you want to go next level. Maybe it's a coworker for the same reasons. You know, relationships with your kids, you know, or your parents. And that's not just like me with Ellen Andrew or them with me. I'm talking about for me with my mom. Some of us who are older, we need to want to get closer and develop a deeper relationship with our parents or our siblings, our spouses. You know, who are those relationships? You know, for newlywed couples, you know, when you first get married, in those first couple years, you're in that honeymoon phase, right? Where no wrong can be done, right? Your spouse can do no wrong. All the little perplexities that you that you become aware of when you first get married, that you weren't aware before because you weren't living together, you graciously overlook those things. I just love him so much, and he's so awesome, and you just overlook, right? Not a big deal, same thing, you know, whatever it may be. However, as time passes, right, the longer that you remain married, that honeymoon phase begins to kind of fade away. And over time, you're not as quick to overlook those same types of offenses as you did when you were first married. You know, now all those kind of perplexities and oddities that you saw in one another, they kind of start crawling under your skin. You get annoyed by them a little bit, and you may say things in a way that kind of lovingly or maybe not so lovingly or trying to encourage them to quit, and it creates friction. You know, in essence, what begins to happen is you can start to slowly drift apart, right? That you start to lose that loving feeling. Amen? We need volume. Oh, we're going to have to go back. All right, we got volume?
Excuse me.
Still need volume.
Don't worry, I'll take care of this.
There we go.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. There's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, baby. But baby, believe me, I know it's it. You've lost that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling. You've lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. Whoa.
It's a funny clip, but it makes the point, right? That we can, and it's not just in spousal relationships, in any relationship, you know, that love and feeling can start to drift, right? We can drift apart. And one of the ways that, and that's because, you know, we talked about this in our repentance study, you know, sin, it kind of breaks relationships. Right, it broke our relationship with God, and we had to be reconciled with Him. When we sin against one another, intentionally or unintentionally, it breaks the relationship, and we need reconciliation. One of the things that really helps us to be able to reconcile, to get closer, to stop drifting apart, but really building and digging those roots deep in our relationships, is our gratitude for one another. You know, what can you do when this starts to happen? You know, when you feel that love and feeling starting to slip, right? What can we do to start? I think an easy thing to do is just go back and start doing the things that you did at first. You know, husbands, wives, right? Go back, start doing all those things you did for one another when you were dating. Writing those cards, those little notes, calling or texting, you know, just random times throughout the day for no reason. Flowers, you know, for no reason. Surprise dates, and yeah, wait for it. Actually expressing your gratefulness for the other person. Because the longer we're in relationship with whomever, the tendency is easy for it to just become routine. Right? And anytime something becomes routine, you can start losing the love and feeling of whatever is going on in that relationship. To unwind that, to get out of that, we express our gratitude. Right? A good exercise might be to just sit down with if there's a relationship that you want to be close to, you know, somebody that you, whoever that is, you know, spend some time today, tonight, tomorrow morning in your quiet time, and just only write down things that you're grateful for that person for. And watch what changes. How your attitude and perspective to that person begins to change immediately. You know, throughout my marriage to Kristen, there have been times when we've been in conversation, she said, if you ever treated me this way when we were dating, I'd have kicked your butt to the curb. Right? And husbands or people that have dated, you understand that, right? Wives, you've probably said that, at least if you're beyond that honeymoon phase. You know, and that kind of statement, it has a stinging effect, but it also has a really good wake up, Dumbo. You know, love and treat your wife the way that you did. Help her to fall in love with you, not just once, not till you just get the ring on her finger and we don't arrive. That's not finality, but it's just the beginning, right? We got to keep doing those things. Going back, that's the whole heart behind Revelation 2:5, right? Is that we repent and we go back and we start doing the things that we did at first. What do I do about it now? How can I start moving forward now? Express gratitude. Write it down. All right, moving on from marriages, because this is not a marriage workshop. As we get ready to close out, do you want to build deeper roots in your relationships? Be it a spouse, a neighbor, friends, coworkers, people in church, your family group, whatever. Start expressing gratitude for that person or for those people. Do you want your family group? Think about your family groups. You know, do you want your family groups to be closer knit than they are right now? To have real deep relationships, not like my grass in my backyard, you know, where a little bit of friction can just kind of tear the whole thing up, but really deep relationships where we're really close, intimately involved in one another's lives, to bear the image of what we see in Acts in the first century. Then don't just attend your family group. Don't just show up, right, in terms of just going, well, this is what I do, and so I'm going to go, I'm going to show up, I'll be there, right? Don't just have fellowship at church or at family group. Show up for each other during the week. You know, encourage one another during the week, expressing gratitude for each other during the week. I don't know if you guys, you know, remember last year, 2018, Kristen's brother was going through a lot of really terrible health issues and couldn't figure it out. Nobody could figure out. I don't know that they still have really figured out what was going on with Brett. But I remember hearing from a conversation that Kristen and Brett had just about during the midst of the chaos, when it was really hard, he said the thing that meant the most was when people just showed up for him. It wasn't about all the things that they did. It was just the fact that they just showed up to be there with him. Because they loved him, because they cared about some, you know, it's showing up, and showing up can be two totally different things. When we show up to church, are we showing up for one another? Right? We can come to church and just attend, or we can come to church and look forward to and be grateful for those who are here and express gratitude. You know, I remember as a young disciple being taught, you know, whenever you go to church, go and look for the needs. Look who's sitting off by themselves that may not know. Look for somebody that on their facial expressions might be, they seem down or discouraged or whatever. Look for the needs, identify the needs, and then go meet the needs. See, that's different than just showing up. We can show up to church. We can give each other hugs. We can say, hey, bro, how's it doing? Good. How are you? Good. And we can go about our merry way. But when we come to church, we need to come and show up for one another. Because the world that we live in is a brutal world. All right, let's close out with some practicals. practically, how can we begin to put this radical gratitude into practice? Number one, don't let your feet, borrowed from Rick Warren, don't let your feet hit the ground this week without giving thanks to God. Okay? Before you roll out of bed tomorrow morning, stop, pause, and give thanks. And that shouldn't be hard to come up with something. Number two, write a card. Write a note and give it to somebody at midweek this week in your family group. You know, think of somebody. Think of somebody before Wednesday night or Thursday or Tuesday, whenever your family group's meeting. Think of somebody in your family group. Get a little sheet of paper. Write down, write a little card. Get a little note. You don't have to go spend money, right? Just write a little note or go spend money if you want to, whatever. But write a note to encourage somebody specifically. Call or text everyone in your family group and tell them specifically why you're grateful for them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what it would do for us in the church if we got a call or a text message from everybody in our family group, letting them know that we're thinking about you and why we're grateful for you? That would be I think that could be a game changer for some of our weeks. Right? Let's do that. Now, fourth thing, arrive 10 minutes early or 10 minutes later than normal with the purpose of being an encourager. Come earlier than you normally come so that you get a little bit of extra time. And when you get there earlier, make it a point to go and to encourage somebody else, to give thanks for them. Stay 10 minutes longer than maybe you normally would so that you have an opportunity to give thanks to somebody that maybe you wouldn't normally have an opportunity to. Last one, make it a point at service to express thanks to somebody that you may not, maybe you just don't normally have much fellowship with. You know, think of somebody that would be new and different and go find that person. And with the expressed purpose and reason to encourage them, to give thanks to them. You know, maybe it would be somebody that serves, any of the teachers. You know, I hope, parents, that all of you, every single time you go pick up your kids, you don't just walk in there and get them and go, but that you stop and express thank you. Because they're sacrificing a lot by not being in church, in the fellowship here and getting to hear the lessons. Thank you for serving our kids. Thank you for the sound crew. Thank you for the worship crew. Thank you for those who prepare communion. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And many of us know, because it's a small church, and so we've had our hands in a pot or many at the same time. You know, but it's easy when you're not to just kind of forget about it. Let's not forget about it. Let's make it a point when we come to church, whether it's family group, Sunday next week, that we're going to come in and make it a point to find somebody that we may not necessarily always talk to or spend time with, and to give thanks to them and let them know why we're grateful for them. Amen? Guys, I hope this is encouraging. I hope it's also practical. Let's make sure that this isn't just another hashtag moment, right? That this isn't a gimmick. It's not something that we're just kind of doing because it's seasonal, right? You like the slides. We got the pumpkins and the fall leaves. But let's make sure that this, what we are doing, is really building roots, digging deep down into the Word of God and into the will of God, which is that we, in all situations, all circumstances, we give thanks. Let's do that now as we pray, giving thanks to Jesus for what He's done for us.